for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 27th, 2012. Frank Butler is the speaker of the service, teaching on Have a Go with Jesus.
Brother Frank, come on. Bless God. It's been such a blessing to have you here. And
I'll use that. Thanks very much. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Are you rejoicing? We'll prove it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you're to pray for miracles. Listen to what King David said. Show me a sign for good. Oh, I like that. Show me a sign for good. Why? So that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Hallelujah. I often say, Lord, show me a sign for good. I need a miracle. I need to see something. Amen. Blessed be God. We're going to sing a song called Holy is the Lord. We got that almost ready, Brother Don. Almost. We won't be an hour or two. Hallelujah. Who got filled with the Holy Spirit last night? Put your hand up. Come on, run down the front. Come here. Amen. Who else got filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on. Hallelujah. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Amen. What happened?
God just filled my heart and let me know He has more for me and to use me in His kingdom.
Amen. How are you doing physically?
I'm feeling wonderful.
Jump up in the air a few times. Come on. Come on. Come on. Run over there. Run back. Go on. Come on. There you go. Because she had a lot of things in her body, aches and pains, right? Are you doing good now? They're all gone? Good stuff. Right? Fantastic. Hallelujah. Come over here, this wonderful lady. She came out first. And what was the first thing you told us when you first came out? You were shaking in the presence of God and weeping. And you said something. Do you remember what you said? You probably, maybe you don't. She said, this is the first time I felt
the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, the presence of God. Amen. And then we prayed for you. We said, well, let's get you filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened?
I spoke in tongues for the first time.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank God. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're praying in the perfect will of God. Amen. It's a hotline to heaven. You can reverse the charges and the devil can't get near it. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Great to be here with you this morning. You're a great bunch of people. God loves people. That's the heart of the gospel. He don't hate people. He loves people. He don't want to curse you. He wants to bless you. Amen. He doesn't want you to starve and go without. He wants to prosper you. Wherever the gospel goes, into the poorer countries, you speak to any missionary. When a person becomes a Christian, every area of their life is elevated. Amen. God lifts people up. Hallelujah. Great to be here this morning. Don't forget to drop by the website, frankbutler.org. Who did it? Who did it? Was it the maid? Was it the cook? Was it the chauffeur? It was the butler. Amen. Now also, there's a link on the website to Facebook and Twitter. And if you want to follow me on Facebook, it's $1,000 a week. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's $2,500 a week. Very cheap, very cheap, very inexpensive. If you want to join my fan club, forget it, I don't have one. I'm in Jesus' fan club. That's the best fan club to be in. Amen. It's been great to be here with you, and I know the word of the Lord has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Amen. And I just want to say something about the United States. And we had the songs earlier about the Memorial Day tomorrow for all the wonderful men and women who have served and given their lives for this nation. The United States is still the strongest Christian nation on the face of the earth. Don't let the media and the devil and all the liberalites and crazies and kooks deceive you. You have millions and millions of people across this nation who have an unstoppable, unwavering faith in the God that blessed this country. You have been a giving, forgiving nation. At the end of the Second World War, you didn't curse and shackle Germany and Japan. You blessed them. And they're stable countries today. Just a little bit more, Don. I love to hear myself. I'll just ask my wife. There you go. Amen. You are a giving, forgiving nation. Even Vietnam, you were fighting them, 30 years ago. You're now sending medical things, business people. You're now restoring diplomatic relationships with them. You are a giving, forgiving nation. What really irritates me is, one thing, you went into Iraq, you took out a terrible dictator who tortured and did horrific things to people, and many of the Iraqi leaders, when you had your ceremony, when you pulled out your troops several months ago, they did not attend, and I have not heard any Iraqi leader say, thank God for America coming to our nation. People are ungrateful today, folks. You didn't go in there to build up your own kingdom and promote yourself and everything else. You went in there to set people free. And the United States is going to reap what it sows. When the tsunami hit in Asia and hit Indonesia, which is the biggest Muslim country in the world, who was first on the scene? The United States. Whenever there's trouble in the world, who's always first on the scene? The United States. Do you ever see Saudi Arabia with all their money helping people out? Do you ever see Iran and Iraq, these other Muslim nations, helping people out? It's Christian nations. And Australia is right there with you. We're right alongside you, 100% plus, on this war on terror. And folks, this is the strongest Christian nation on the face of the earth. God said to Abraham, if we find 10 righteous people in that city, we won't destroy it. Well, guess what? You got more than 10 people. And God ain't finished with this nation yet. From Canada to Mexico, from the East Coast to the West Coast. This is His nation. Doesn't belong to a man. Doesn't belong to a political party. Doesn't just belong to the people. It belongs to God. So you be encouraged today. And whenever you see a soldier too, go up to him. I do it all the time. I say, we're praying for the troops and the mission. I say, God bless you for your service. Whenever you see a soldier in uniform, I did it one early morning. I was in Nashville. It was a 6 o'clock flight, and we were there about 5 o'clock, and I was sitting alone, and a young lady came up, probably in her early 20s, 21, 22. She had a, you know, uniform on. I said, where are you going to? She said, I'm going back to Afghanistan. I said, listen, I pointed at her. I said, listen, I just want to tell you something. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I travel across this country. And I said, there are millions of Christians who are praying for you. And you're going to have success. I said, and I always say it because there's a certain political party in this nation who used to say, oh, we're praying for the troops but not the mission. I won't name them Democrats. But anyway, Democrats. Finding out who's with me, who's against me. Well, I vote Democrat. How dare he say that? I'm an Australian. I don't know. I'm just a helpless, simple Australian. But you need to go up to him, and I said, listen, the Christians across this nation are praying for the troops and the mission. She started weeping uncontrollably. And then when she wiped her tears away, she said, I have a little baby and a little two-year-old or something. She said, this is so hard, leaving my family. So when you see somebody in uniform, go up to him and encourage him. I tell you, I walk up to, they're the biggest, toughest guys sometimes in airports. There'll be 5 or 6 of them. I walk up and say, hey, guys. Jesus loves you, so do I, and guess what? Thanks so much for your service to this great country, and their faces light up. So do it, folks, amen? Hallelujah. Let's turn this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22. Amen. It's been great to be with you, and God willing, I'll see you here, there, or in the air. The way things are going, it'll be in the air. All eyes are back on the Middle East, where it all started. Hallelujah. That's our barometer for the return of Christ. Let's have a look at this. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And when Jesus sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. You know, Jesus never had a problem pulling the crowd. You know why? One word, miracles. Amen. You know, when Jesus was born, the angels flew overhead and they said, peace on earth, goodwill to all people. God has your highest will at heart. He loves you more than you've ever dreamed. And he wants to bless you far above all that you ask or think. And he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. You know, Jesus practiced what he preached. Because earlier in Matthew, he told us to get alone privately when we pray. Amen. If you pray privately, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It's the same with your giving. Amen. When you give, you don't give it to be seen by men. You give it because you want God to bless you. You give privately. Amen. And it says in verse 24, but the ship was now in the middle of the sea, battered by the waves, for the wind was against it. Now this storm was not from God. This storm was from the devil. As we're going to see in a while, Jesus rebuked the storm, calmed the storm. You know, Satan wants you to sink. Satan wants to take you under. He doesn't want you to stay above, stay afloat. And I like what it says there. The ship was now, everybody say now. You know, it says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. It says faith is. And then it says the gospel is the power of God. And then another time it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Well, if faith is, and the power of the gospel is, and Jesus is, and you is, it's not good grammar, but miracles is. Because the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Amen. And it says in verse 25, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, God, aren't you glad it don't say in the Bible, pray to me between 9 and 5, Monday to Friday? You call on God any place, any time, anyhow, and he'll back you up. Amen. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Now, there are several miracles in this incident, in John's account and in Mark's account as well. And the first miracle was in John's gospel. It says, when they had rowed 3 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water. Anybody been to Israel? Put your hand up. You've seen the Sea of Galilee, right? Well, you know, before I went over there, I thought it was a little inland sea. It's a massive inland sea. It really is. It's 13 miles long. It's 4.8 miles wide. It's 690 feet below the sea level of the Mediterranean. And it's 80 to 200 feet deep. And it's abundant with fish. Did any of you people who went to Israel eat at Peter's fish? You did? You did? It's good, isn't it? You did? Did you eat at Peter's fish? Amen. I'm getting hungry again. 2 meetings in a row, I talk about food. Hallelujah. Amen. But listen, I thought before I visited Israel, I thought it was a little pond, you know, and Jesus was just several feet out and he walked on the water. You know, I've seen stupid shows on I think it was History Channel, Discovery, whatever, and you have those people explaining away the miracles. Oh, gosh, I like watching them because they're a joke. They say Jesus walked on a sandbank. Or they say Jesus walked on some stones, you know, to get to the ship. And they come out with all these stupid things. You see, it takes faith to believe in God. It takes faith to believe in miracles. Amen. That's what it takes. Faith is sight unseen. Faith is belief without proof. Amen. Faith means you're confident of what you hope for, convinced of what you do not see. I haven't seen heaven, but I'm going there. And if I'm wrong, I'm having a good time being wrong. But I'm not wrong, and you're not wrong. Amen. But if the wicked are wrong, they've got a big problem. Hallelujah. And so, 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 miles out. What a great Jesus. He walked 3 miles for these disciples whom he loved. And then in Mark's account, it tells us a second miracle. This is good, listen. Jesus came to them walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by. Wow. Now don't forget, there's a massive, I talked to people over there who lived in that area. Massive storms come up there. You'll get waves 6, 8, 10 feet high. And just incredible winds. So here's Jesus walking on the water and he almost passed them by. Let me tell you something, Christian. He'll never pass you by. He'll never pass you by. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he didn't pass you by? Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were troubled. And they said, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Sounds like the typical Christian. You know, I hear a lot of talk today. Everybody wants revival. Everybody wants the power of God and everything else. But you know what? When it turns up, a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors, and a lot of Christians get real nervous. Often I've been in meetings, really, when the Holy Spirit turns up, it's like uncontrolled chaos sometimes. You've got God doing so much stuff. See, man likes to be in control. When the Holy Spirit comes in, a lot of preachers, I know, because I'm in different churches all the time, I know if a preacher's with me, a pastor of a church, God will do great, mighty things. But if he says, feel free, you've got 10 minutes, hallelujah, controlling the Holy Ghost. I was in a church once here in the States at about 400 members. I'm sitting up on the platform. The pastor leans over. He said, Brother Butler, I want you to preach from 11:30 to 5 to 12 and hand it back to me at 5 to 12 and the worship leader will close in prayer because the people like to get out to the restaurants. So, being the nice, obedient, submissive evangelist that I am, I preached to 5 to 12, handed back to the pastor, he handed to the worship leader. The pastor said, come down to the door, let's greet the people. So I went down to the door. This little grey-haired lady and her husband come up. They said, Brother Butler, God spoke to us through that message. Would you pray for us? I said, sure. I laid hands on them. And about 50 people fell out under the power of God. We were there for 3 hours. Glory to God. The disciples had no reason to fear because Jesus had saved them from a storm earlier on in Matthew's Gospel when he was asleep in the boat. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Satan is the originator of fear. See, God is the author of faith. Jesus Christ is the author, the beginning, the origin, and he'll be the end of our faith. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Fear torments you. After 9/11, I'd be on a 300-seater airplane, aircraft with 5 people. My wife, my son and I were booked into Disney World. I think it was November, after it was September, 9/11 happened. There was no one there. There was no one there. We got incredible rates on, we had already made our booking, but we got incredible rates on accommodation and everything else. People pulled out because of fear. They didn't want to travel. We had all the rides. We basically had Disney World to ourselves. You get on rides, just go around and around 20 times. Didn't have to get in a line. But there was a fear of terrorism. Fear of death. People are afraid of big places, small. There's some pretty weird fears. People are afraid of looking at other people. They're afraid of the faces of people. If somebody can't look at you, there's sure something satanic going on in their life. People are afraid of diseases. You've got people lock themselves away. They don't want to leave their home because they're afraid they'll catch a disease. Some of them wear masks if they do go out. They're wearing a mask for fear. There were a couple of women over in Arizona, and I think it was their mother had died from breast cancer, and they were in their 30s, so rather than living that fear of breast cancer, they had their breasts removed. This is the fear. There's all sorts of people are fearful about the economy collapsing. There's been suicides already. People have lost their jobs. See, Christ gives you hope in this life and hope beyond the grave. And people have no hope today. They lost hope. And you can't look to men. Don't look to the White House. Look to the White Throne. Amen. I've never looked to man for help. It really amazes me how some people get emotional and zealous about presidential candidates. I mean, it's okay. But we need to get as zealous about Jesus Christ. And emotional about Jesus Christ. And here they were in fear. They said, it is a spirit. They cried out for fear. And verse 27, look at it. Straight away, Jesus spoke to them. And he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. See, cheer is better than fear. Amen. Jesus was always cheering people up. You know what it means? To encourage one overcome by adversity, a source of joy and comfort. Amen. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be of good cheer, pick up your bed and walk. He probably laid there and said, well, that's easy for you to say. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't help him up. Jesus said to the man with the crippled arm, stretch forth your hand. Jesus didn't take his arm and say, you poor crippled man, let me stretch it for you. See, God wants some actions with faith. Amen. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Amen. King David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. Look at verse 28. It gets betterer and gooderer. And Peter said, look at this, will you? Look at this, folks. Verse 28. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, Jesus just said it's me in the previous verse. Typical Christian. Oh, I'm not sure. What does the Bible really say about healing or about prospering? I'm not sure. He's a man, instead of being a man of faith and power, he's a man of paste and flour. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. This is the third miracle. Peter walks on the water. Did Peter walk on the water? No, he didn't. You can't walk on water. I've tried it. Go home tonight, run the bathtub, try and walk on it. You can't do it. So if he didn't walk on water, what did he walk on? No, you walk by faith. He didn't walk on water. Somebody said what back there? The Word. Listen, Jesus is before all things, and by him all things consist. Peter was a professional fisherman. There's only one person who knew more about the water than Peter, and that's Jesus, because he created it. All things were made by him and for him. Without him, nothing was made that is made. So Peter walked on the word come. When Jesus said come, a new law came in to place that superseded the law of sinking. Listen, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Uphold me according to your word that I might live. Order my steps in your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Peter walked on the water, not in the water. I want to find out one day, Peter, were your feet wet? I don't think they were. Amen. I don't think they were. He didn't walk in the water. You know, Hollywood, better known as Hollywood, they can't get it right. They always show even the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. When they go through the Dead Sea, they're walking in slush. The Bible says they went through on dry ground. Hallelujah. And what always irritates me, every movie I've seen about Moses, they always have Pharaoh living. The Bible says the Pharaoh and his army were destroyed in the sea. You know, it'd be a real good idea if Hollywood would read the Bible before they make a movie. The Greek word for on is epi. That's a cute word. Upon, aren't you glad Jesus didn't say go into all the world and learn Greek and Hebrew? But occasionally I pull it out. It means upon, over, or across the storm. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 30. And when Peter saw the stormy wind, he was afraid. You get this, folks? First he's fearful, then he's got faith, now he's afraid again. Sounds like life, doesn't it? You move one mountain out of the way, devil drops another one. Move another mountain out of the way, devil drops another one. Hey, we've got to be mountain movers. We don't have to fear anything or anyone. And Peter saw the stormy wind, he was afraid, that's filled with fear, that's what afraid means. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Takes his eyes off Jesus, he looks at the storm. There are six ways you could look. Say it after me. I can look at circumstances and be defeated. I can look around and be distracted. I can look within and be afraid. I can look back and be discouraged. I can look to others and be disappointed. Or I can look to Jesus and see miracles. If you believe in miracles, jump up, give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Now, while this is going on, there's 11 other adult men in the ship. They were safe and secure. While Peter experienced a miracle, they're in the ship. Thomas said, I doubt this is really happening. Judas said, I can make some money out of this. Matthew, who had been a tax collector, said, I hope we don't get taxed for this. John said, if Jesus really loved me the most, I'd be on the water with Jesus instead of Peter. James, who wanted to call fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans for rejecting Jesus, said, I should be on the water with Jesus. I'm going to call fire from heaven down on Peter. Philip, who at the Last Supper said to Jesus, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. He shouted, show us how you do it, Jesus, and we will be satisfied. Andrew, who said to Jesus, "How can 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed 5,000 people?" He shouted out, "I hope there's enough of the miraculous power to go around to hold both you up." And lastly, Nathaniel sitting in the boat, he said, "Can anything good come from walking on the water?" Now, if they went over your head, you better study the Bible. Verse 31, and several months later, immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith," that's small or not much, tiny, minuscule, "why did you doubt?" That means uncertainty, mistrust, lack of faith. Here we have the fourth miracle. Jesus immediately lifts Peter back up off the water. What a wonderful thing. Now, how deep did Peter sink? That from where most of the Sea of Galilee I stood on, it gets deep pretty quick. Was it up to his knees? Was it up to his waist? Was it up to his neck? Or did you just see a little hand waving? They're several miles out, so it was deep. So he's under. Doesn't matter how far you sink, Jesus Christ will always lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word sunk also means discouraged, depressed, and down. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Your word is in his heart. None of his steps will slide. You enlarge my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. Hallelujah. Now many people, many preachers, give Peter a hard time because of this incident. I used to. Oh, he got out of the boat, he walked on the water. But then he took his eyes off Jesus. He put his eyes on the wind and the waves, and his faith failed, and he sank. But the Lord showed me something years ago. Peter was a professional fisherman. That was the source of his income. That was his security. That was his life. That boat supported him in every area of his life. At least Peter got out of the boat and had a go. God wants all of you, front row to back row, have a go for Jesus. Don't be a pew sitter, a church goer. Be a man of God and a woman of God. Hallelujah. The only reason Peter's faith failed was because he used it. Peter wrote years later that faith will be tested. It's better to fail trying than not to try at all. All the great men and women of God down through history have stepped out. Hallelujah. Had everything stacked against them many times. Reinhard Bonnke in Africa, who's heard of him? I've ministered with him. He used to have a tent. I might have the figures wrong. I think the first one held 50,000 people. It got wiped out by a storm. So he built one that held 120,000 people. It got wiped out by a storm. I think he built 2 or 3. I'm not real sure. I know it was 2. He said, "Okay, devil, that's it. I'm taking my meetings outside." He now has 3 million people in one service. You don't see that on the nightly news. They talk about a million man march here in America. It was 3 million people gathering in one place to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who was the man who Jesus chose to lead the church in victory on the day of Pentecost? Peter. When Jesus was taken away to be crucified, Jesus prophesied before he was taken away that Peter would deny him 3 times when the rooster crowed. But you know what the Bible says? All the disciples abandoned Jesus. But you know what it says about Peter? Peter followed Jesus afar off. It's better to follow Jesus afar off than not to follow him at all. Peter always wanted to be in the midst of things. Hallelujah. He spoke one time and Jesus rebuked him. Said, "Get behind me, Satan." Amen. But Peter always wanted to have a go. And I believe that's why the Lord chose him to be a leader in the early church. Amen. Today the church is not a lifeboat. I should say it's not a pleasure boat, it's a lifeboat. And it's time for all hands on deck. One of the problems with the American church, you've got too much teaching. Teaching, 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 teaching. And then teaching, teaching, teaching. You need to start to do stuff. You need to start to share your faith. You need to start to lay hands on the sick. You need to start to cast out devils. You need to start to get new believers filled with the Holy Ghost. You watch what happens in your life. Well, get ready, because when you start to do that, Satan's going to attack you immediately. Look at verse 32. And when Jesus and Peter got back into the boat, the wind ceased. Miracle. This is the fifth miracle. The scripture says, the Lord has been a refuge from the storm. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves are still. Jesus could bring peace into any circumstance. Look at verse 33. And those that were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. Miracles always give God glory, praise, worship, and thanksgiving. You go to my website, let's have a look at a couple of the miracles on here. And listen to how they end up. I probably shared a few. Here's a few new ones that came in. You can read them on the website. A lady the other day, she had tinnitus, constant ringing in the ears. People have known to be commit suicide with it. Philadelphia. And she closes, praise be to God. Jesus healed her. There's a, let me see here. Neck pain gone, movement restored, sleeping better. God is good all the time. Joy of the Lord replaces depression. How do they close? Bless God. Here's a prostate cancer gone. Wonderful thing. Thank you for praying for me. My PSA results scored 7 and 2 biopsies confirmed I had prostate cancer. All of the treatments have awful side effects. After you prayed for me, I decided to have one more PSA test before I had any treatment. Today I got the results and scored a 1. The nurse said anything below a 4 they consider normal. This is awesome news for me. I love that. This is awesome news for me. God is faithful and God is still in the healing business. Give the Lord some praise. Come on. Amen, amen, amen. Back hips and spine healed. Joyce in Phoenix. Here's a wonderful miracle. Over in Pennsylvania. Richmond, Pennsylvania. I somehow developed radiculopathy. I hadn't even heard of this disease. It's a condition where one or more nerves do not work properly, which caused much pain in my left arm and shoulder. The pain was so bad I would apply scalding heat to get relief from the pain. A spinal neurologist told me that 2 of my discs had fallen into my spinal cord. I was placed on narcotics to help relieve the pain and surgery was needed. The discs would be removed and 2 hinge-like devices would be placed in my neck. Frank came to our church around that time. I went up to be prayed for and I was healed. For the last 6 months I have been pain-free. She's got pain-free in uppercase. Glory to Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hello, Ali, amen, amen, amen. This one here is eyesight healed. Blessed be the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Where's this one? I want to find this one, this pastor who died 6 times. Let me find it. Blind eye healed. Where is it? Where is that one? There was a pastor in Kentucky. He died 6 times, and the doctors said, we don't want to operate on him because it would be like operating on a dead man. And he had sugar diabetes as well, and he was healed of both, and he's back preaching. Let me see if I can find it. It's a wonderful miracle. But anyway, it's on the website. If I just can't find it. Arthritis, 37 years of age. One lady was spending $700 a month in Portland, Oregon on medication. She got healed. I can't find it right now. It's on there somewhere. But listen, God is a God of miracles. Amen. Amen. And here this one incident is jam-packed with the miraculous. And let's have a look at it here. Amen. Let's have a look at it. Look at verse, in 32, we talked about the wind cease. That's the fifth miracle. And then the sixth miracle was in John's account. Listen to what it says. They're 3 miles out, and it says, immediately the ship was at shore, so you got 13 adults, ship to shore, captain, hallelujah. Amen. God took that ship with 13 adults in it, straight to the shore, miraculously. What a wonderful thing. Amen. He brings them to their desired haven. That's what the scripture says. You know what a haven is? It's a place of safety and security. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Folks, in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament, Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. He's your captain. Amen. And when you're in the military or the Coast Guard or whatever, and you have a captain, you submit to that captain if you're under that captain. And you obey that every captain's command. Amen. Look at verse 33. And those that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. In John's account, it adds one last thing. They willingly received Jesus into the ship before they got to shore. You got to willingly receive Jesus into your heart, into every area of your life, and make him the captain of your health, your finances, your dreams, your goals, your plans, your family. Amen. You see, a lot of Westerners, we're brought up in a atmosphere where we analyze everything from the womb to the tomb. We analyze everything. We depend on ourselves, or we depend on a family member or a preacher, but we've got to depend on God. Amen. Peter stood out. He got out of the boat, had a go. He had nothing but Jesus. Amen. Blessed be God. Listen, like Peter, it's your choice. You could sink or swim. To sink is defined as to become submerged, to go under, to descend to the bottom. To swim is to stay afloat, or you could stay on top with Jesus. You're not to let sin or sickness or oppression or darkness pull you under. See, sickness in the Bible, in Job's, the book of Job, is called captivity. Jesus talked about a woman in Luke's Gospel. She was bound by a spirit of infirmity. That's bondage. Over in the book of Acts, sickness is called oppression. Jesus healed all that were oppressed by the devil. Sickness oppresses you, whether it's the common cold or cancer. It oppresses you, and it oppresses everyone else. That's why it's important you never accept sickness or disabilities or whatever. You fight it with all you got, all the days of your life. Amen. The reason or purpose of life is given in two scriptures. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Folks, make Jesus the captain of every area of your life today. If you want to do that, stand to your feet right now. Lift your hands to heaven. Pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you He is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord, and He does not change. Lord, I reject fear, doubt, and unbelief. I'm going to have a go from now on, Lord. And I'm not going to be afraid of people. I'm not going to be afraid of what they say or what they do. For it is written, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And when the storms of life come, I will speak to them in the name of Jesus Christ, and they will cease, and there will be safety and peace. Lord, I thank you. I'm going to trust you with every detail of my life. Lord, I love you with all my heart. And Lord, forgive me for running with my tail between my legs. Forgive me for being afraid so many times. No more, Lord God. It's a new day. It's a new hour. And I'm a new creation. And it is written, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Give the Lord a victory shout this morning. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Wonderful Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I'm not going to lay hands on people this morning. You've had enough prayer this week. You could touch Jesus. You don't always need a preacher's touch. You don't always need somebody else's touch. Amen. I like that woman. She said, when I touch him, I will be healed. Amen. I like the centurion. He said, just speak the word, Jesus. Hey, what's being spoken? He said, just speak the word, Jesus, and my servant at home, suffering from paralysis, will be healed. When he got home, his miracle's waiting for him. Amen. The 10 lepers came out in public. I shared it with my sister last night. They lifted up their voices. They shouldn't have been in public, number one. And they lifted up their voices. They said, Jesus, have mercy on us. He said, go, show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they were healed. Amen. Blessed be God. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, Lord, you daily load me with benefits. Load me up, Lord. Your word says, you will give me the desires of my heart. You're a big God. You're able to answer more than one prayer at a time. Jesus, you said, what things soever I desire, what things, if I believe, I will have them. And Lord, I lift up holy hands, and as I touch you, you're going to touch me. And just like Peter, you're going to hold me up. Amen. I'm going to see miracles and answers to prayers for myself, my loved ones, and friends, and others. And you're going to get the glory. Every step of the way. I believe, I receive. Give him a victory shout again. Come on. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, it's been great to be with you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. And do me one favor. As you get your miracles and answers to prayers, go to the website. There's a testimony form. And send them through. And we put your first name, last initial. We don't put your address, email, phone number. You'll have every kook in the world contacted. And these testimonies go all around the world and make the devil mad and give Jesus glory. Amen. And we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. See this lady in the wheelchair? She's got faith. She hasn't quit. I told her last night, and I told her, never, infinite, quit. Amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. She hasn't quit. We shouldn't quit either, should we? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. I'm going to hand back to who? To you, Kevin? To you? Brother Don? Bless the third? Okay. Lord God, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for two or more gathered in your name. Jesus, you said you'd be in our midst. And Lord, we thank you for the food today. Lord, just bless it. Nourish it to our bodies. Strengthen us, Lord God. And Lord, let us have a rich fellowship as well. Lord, we love you. We give you praise. And everybody say one more time, from now on, I'm going to have a go. I'm going to have a go. See, Sister Carla had a go. She had a go. She's got incredible testimony. You get alone with her sometimes and hear her. She shares bits of it. But incredible how God's used her and is using her. Carla, come out of here, Carla, quick. I want some ladies. Let me see. I want this sister here. I want this sister here. Yep. Let me see. Let me see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Put your hand on her there. That's it. Sister down the back, quick. You come. Yeah. No. This sister right down the back in the corner. Yeah, right down the back. Quick, near the kitchen. No. Come on. Quick. I need you. Hurry. She's always got to run. I'm always making her run. Hallelujah. Everyone stretch your hand towards her. For I called you, says the Lord. For I anointed you, says the Lord. And I have appointed you in my church, says the Lord, to speak for me. For you have compassion and mercy and love and faith that very few people have, says the Lord. You have allowed me to minister to you and set you absolutely free so I could use you to set others free, says the Lord. For you see things in the Spirit. You see into people's hearts. You see people's motives. I've gifted you with a dense, heavy discernment, says the Lord. It's heavy on you because I've gifted you to set the captives free. When you pray, when you speak, things happen, says the Lord. And everything you do for me, you do in love. That's what pleases me the most, says the Lord. For you love me with all your heart. For you love my people and you long to set them free. Well, guess what, my daughter? This is just the beginning of your ministry. For I am going to exalt you in this nation, from the north, the south, to the east and the west. For doors are going to open. And you are going to be promoted. For promotion comes from me, says the Lord. And nothing and no one will stand against you. Because you know my power. You know my strength. You have a strength and an assurance and a confidence in me and my word. And the enemy has tried to destroy you in many ways, but he has not and he will not succeed, says the Lord. And it has cost you to serve me physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. But you rejoice every step of the way, says the Lord. And today, everything you're sowing has been good. And today, the harvest is about to come in. The crop's about to come in. For everything you've sown, says the Lord, has been a blessing to me and a blessing to my people. And you will stand in front of thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands, says the Lord. For you are not in it for your glory. You are not in the ministry for the money or the applause or the compliments. You love serving me. You love being a handmaiden of your holy God. And because you bless me, my daughter, this day I'm going to bless you. Touch her right now, Lord. Bring on. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rabba, Kiela, Baba. Some of you ladies just get lay your hands on and pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen, 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 amen. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. The Lord is good. Amen. God bless you all. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.